Hello and welcome to the Rush Hour for Thursday, the 21st of July. Father Federico Lombardi stated overnight that claims that the Vatican encouraged Irish bishops to not report sex abuse cases to police are untrue and ignore everything the Holy See has done to counteract the issue. He said that in attributing grave responsibility to the Holy See for what happened in Ireland, such accusations demonstrate little awareness of what the Holy See has actually done over the years to help effectively address the problem. Father Lombardi clarified that his comments were not an official Vatican response, which is scheduled to be issued soon. The Vatican spokesman made his remarks amid accusations by Irish lawmakers that a 1997 letter to Irish bishops sabotaged their child protection policy by instructing them to handle abuse cases strictly by canon law. The letter was highlighted in the recently issued report on the Diocese of Cloyne that identified 9 cases between 1996 and 2005 which should have been reported by the authorities but were not. Prime Minister Enda Kelly harshly criticised the Vatican on Wednesday, saying that church leaders are steeped in a climate of narcissism and sought to defend their institutions as opposed to protecting children. Father Lombardi emphasised that the letter never told Irish bishops to only address abuse cases from a canon law approach, but that some of the canonical details in the protection policy needed to be amended to prevent them from being invalid. Meanwhile, the Vatican has released the Pope's schedule for his trip to Germany this September. Rome Reports has more details.
Benedict XVI will travel to Berlin, Erfurt, and Freiburg from September 22nd to the 25th. It will be his third trip to Germany, but his first as a state visit. He is set to meet with Chancellor Angela Merkel, as well as other politicians, judges, young people, and representatives from the Lutheran Church and the Jewish and Muslim communities. The Pope will have a full schedule on this trip that includes 4 plane rides and 2 helicopter tours in 4 days. On Thursday, September 22nd, he will arrive in Berlin and meet with President Christian Wolff, followed by Angela Merkel. Then in the afternoon, he will visit the federal parliament. The day will end with a mass at the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. There are no planned ceremonies to take place at the Berlin Wall, but the pontiff will visit a city in the former East Germany. In Erfurt, he will meet Friday with the Council of the German Evangelical Church in a convent where Martin Luther once lived. In the afternoon, he will travel by helicopter to the Shrine of Etzelbach. On Saturday the 24th, a mass will be held in Erfurt with a full attendance of guests already scheduled. Afterward, he will travel to Freiburg to meet with the former Chancellor Helmut Kohl. Benedict XVI will also meet with representatives from the Orthodox Church and German seminarians. The day will then end with a large meeting of young people. On Sunday the 25th, the Pope will celebrate Mass at the airport of Freiburg and spend the afternoon meeting with the German Constitutional Court. Before leaving for Rome, he'll be greeted by a group of Catholic lay people the Vatican has said are active with the Church and society. The official site for the event provides all the information and has an online store that sells everything from bracelets, pens and keychains to cup holders, umbrellas, medals, and thermoses with the official logo of the trip. Germany has 40 million inhabitants, 71% are Christians, 5% are Muslim, and 24% are agnostic. Catholics make up 30%, which is about 25 million people, slightly higher than the number of Protestants there.
The World Youth Day Cross is back in Madrid. For 2 years, it was taken around to 70 dioceses in Spain. Now it's back home in the Almudena Cathedral, where it stands next to the icon of the Virgin Mary. The cross became the official symbol of World Youth Day after Pope John Paul II gave it to a group of youths back in 1984. Madrid's Cardinal Antonio Maria Rucu Varela welcomed the cross, which arrived in Spain around Easter of 2009. Since then, the cross has travelled roughly 15,000 miles. Along the way, it has been greeted by tens of thousands of young people. Now it's time for another tour. On the 30th of July, it will visit different churches around Spain's capital. Afterwards, the cross and the icon of the Virgin Mary will take centre stage during World Youth Day, which will take place from the 16th to the 21st of August. A leading fertility clinic in Hong Kong revealed this week that they aborted two embryonic children after clinicians had implanted them in the wrong woman. The Victory ART laboratory realised the mix-up quickly and, according to the BBC, then had the embryos taken out and discarded. The Hong Kong Council on Human Reproductive Technology has ruled that the mix-up was due to human error rather than systemic failings and will not take any action. The council's report indicated that a junior embryologist had failed to check the labels. The mistake has other patrons of the facility up in arms, says the BBC, with one even saying that she is considering having a DNA test after her child is born. The process of IVF has been heavily criticised by pro-life advocates, in large part because while in each round numerous children are conceived to improve the chances of implantation, those remaining, unused, are simply discarded or frozen. A 2008 UK government report showed that IVF clinics in that country have intentionally killed over 1 million human embryos. Critics also warn that the procedure reduces the newly formed human life to the status of a commodity and argue that the child is meant to be conceived through the mutual love of husband and wife in the conjugal act. And finally, a deeply religious Dutchman's replica of Noah's Ark is nearing completion. The enormous vessel is sitting at a quay on a river 65 kilometres south of Amsterdam. Johan Hubers is a 52-year-old local businessman who has worked with 50 volunteers to create the Ark. The Book of Genesis says the boat was 300 cubits long, 30 cubits high, and 50 cubits wide, with a cubit estimated roughly as the distance between the elbow and the fingertips, or half a metre. This makes the Ark's dimensions staggering, about 150 metres long, roughly 4 stories high, and some 25 metres across. It weighs around 3,000 tonnes. 16,000 animal replicas, which are being created in the Philippines, will be added to the vessel. It will open as a Bible museum at the end of the year. Thanks for listening to the program. Speak to you again tomorrow. My email is therushhour@cradio.org.au. God bless.